On Tuesday's front page, cutting the HIV rate for women in Africa. Two new studies came up with two different approaches. Also on Tuesday's front page, breast cancer patients who don't have breast cancer. With all the advances in mammography, diagnosticians are able to see more, but they're not always clear on what they're looking at. And how it's going in the town in California that fired all its municipal employees. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. We begin with two health-related stories. First, a look at two new studies that found different ways to cut HIV infections among women and schoolgirls in Africa. They make up the majority of newly infected patients in the sub-Saharan part of that continent. Women who used a gel containing an AIDS drug were 39% less likely to get HIV. The gel costs less than 25 cents per application. A separate study in Malawi found that cash payments helped with prevention. Girls who got the payment started having sex later. They also had fewer partners. That meant they were less likely to be infected with AIDS or herpes. Tuesday's Times looks at breast cancer patients who undergo procedures like mastectomies, only to discover they never had cancer.
I mean, I lost part of my breast for no reason. I think you could handle a disfigurement a little bit more if there was a real purpose for it. But to find out later, I didn't need to do that.
3 years ago, Monica Long had a suspicious mammogram and a biopsy, and her doctor recommended surgery. Times reporter Stephanie Saul says advances in mammography are putting pathologists on the spot. It turns out that diagnosing the early stages of breast cancer is prone to mistakes, and doctors can disagree about whether cells are benign or malignant. Ms. Long is now suing the pathologist who read her biopsy. He says he stands by his findings, but several experts who reviewed the case disagree. One said flatly her local doctors, quote, blew the diagnosis. President Obama took issue with Republicans he says are obstructing a bill to extend unemployment benefits.
Over the past few weeks, a majority of senators have tried, not once, not twice, but three times, to extend emergency relief on a temporary basis. Each time, a partisan minority in the Senate has used parliamentary maneuvers to block a vote, denying millions of people who are out of work much-needed relief. That attitude, I think, reflects a lack of faith in the American people.
The president is under pressure in an election year when unemployment is at 9.5%. Senate Democrats are expected to bring the unemployment bill back to the floor on Tuesday after they swear in Democrat Cart Goodwin as interim successor to Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia, who died last month. Also on Tuesday's front page, the story of an Iraqi family that reads like an abridged version of the entire war. Hamid Ahmad was an Air Force warrant officer who'd been imprisoned under Saddam Hussein. Later, he got a job with the U.S. military. His 32-year-old son joined the insurgency. Last month, Abdul Ahmad shot and killed him. Maywood, California, fired all the town employees last month and outsourced their jobs. School crossing guards were let go. The Los Angeles County Sheriff took over public safety. Senior citizens worried they'd be assaulted in broad daylight. Parents worried parks would close and kids would have nowhere to hang out. But now Times reporter David Streitfeld says things really haven't changed much. You can still get a parking ticket in Maywood, but now it'll be written by out-of-towners on contract. Here in New York, if you want to be a summer intern at City Hall, it helps to have connections. Mayor Michael Bloomberg has been in office for 9 years, and the interns have included the son of Goldman Sachs chief executive Lloyd Blankfein, the stepson of playwright Neil Simon, and the granddaughter of famous conductor Eric Leinsdorf. Another former City Hall intern was Luke Russert, son of the late Meet the Press moderator Tim Russert. Inside Tuesday's Times, black voters in California may tilt the balance in the vote on Proposition 19. That measure would let anyone over 21 possess up to an ounce of marijuana. Some African-American pastors are worried it could lead to increased drug use. But last week, supporters announced what they consider a major endorsement. It came from former Surgeon General Jocelyn Elders. Iraqi cleric Muqtada al-Sadr met with Prime Minister Nouri Kamal al-Maliki's top political rival, Ayad Alawi. Until now, Sauter had stayed out of the political fight, at least publicly. His followers won 39 seats in parliament in the elections back in March. They're now allied with Maliki's bloc, but oppose his re-election as prime minister. Alawi's largely Sunni coalition defeated Maliki's, but they can't come to terms on forming a new government. Monday was a red-letter day for the history books. If there are any history books in the future, Amazon said e-books topped hardcover sales from April through June. It sold 143 Kindle books for every 100 hardcovers. The Kindle count jumped to 180 as summer settled in and it was time for serious beach reading. Tuesday's Business Day section also says Delta Airlines reported its biggest quarterly profit in a decade. But Wall Street remains worried that Delta and the rest of the airline industry will repeat the past. At issue is whether the airlines will move too fast to restore cuts in service they've made in the last couple of years. In Tuesday's New York report, state education officials are admitting it. Their standardized exams have gotten easier to pass in the last 4 years. They're now recalibrating the scoring for tests taken this spring. That's almost certain to mean that thousands more students will fail. Scores climbed at every grade level across the state, but there were no similar gains on national exams. That leaves State Education Commissioner David Steiner saying, quote, "The only possible conclusion is something strange happened to our test." 2 months ago, Nobel laureate Elie Wiesel used legal threats to shut down a play that imagined his relationship with his former money manager, Bernard Madoff. Now the play has been revised. Wiesel has been replaced by a new fictional character. But playwright Deborah Margolin kept dialogue from the original version. The first performances are scheduled for this week in Hudson, New York. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. Remember, you can send us your comments on the Front Page podcast. Our email address is podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.